I'm Maria Dudzak, and I am joined in the studio by Carmel Anderson. She's here to tell us about the Hope Quilt and a project. I guess it's traveling through the state and coming to Ketchikan.
Correct. It actually started in Ketchikan and has traveled the state. And we are finalizing the tour, and which was sponsored by the Alaska Children's Trust. But interestingly, the quilt started here, and it's really not a quilt per se. People get a little confused by the name, and that really the name just kind of happened. But it's what it is primed canvas squares that are pinned together with insights, words of wisdom, or experiences of those affected by domestic violence or sexual assault. And the thing that I'm so pleased that we're showing it back here is when it came here, we had very few squares when it started, and it actually wasn't even supposed to be. What happened was we had an unforeseen change in the show, and I had a large wall that I knew I wanted to give information of hope, because people said at the state level, well, this is a great project, Carmel, but people get overwhelmed and they walk away not knowing what to do. And so I knew I wanted to connect with the people. And so at the last minute, I'm standing with Marnie Rickelman as she sees a week before the show, like, you know, I'm about ready to lose it. And we talked about what we wanted and what I wanted. I wanted voices. I wanted it to be connected to show that domestic violence and sexual assault isn't an individual problem between two people. It affects families and it affects communities and it affects our state of Alaska greatly. Just with the money Alaska puts out is, you know, I heard in billions, but it is astronomical about how much money we have to put in with health care, you know, helping the children, helping the survivors, on and on. And so I knew this was important, and my friend Diane Gubitano was working with Wish, and she said, give me the squares, I'll get some filled out. And that's how it started, and people contribute as they come to the show or they hear about it. I've had some mail to me. And now it's over 32 feet in length because it has now gone to the state capitol, Juneau at the State Museum, Anchorage, Hoonah, Dillingham, Barrow, Bethel, and Sitka. And people are very welcome, and I encourage them through a wonderful grant through the Vicar Shipyard is sponsoring any postage and supplies to continue this project so that we can have... My hope is any Alaskan who wants to contribute will be able to, whether they have the resources or not, that we could cover that would not be a hindrance. So I wanted to bring it back to Ketchikan because when it started here, it was very small, and this was its birthplace, and now it is quite, obviously, about 350 squares have been contributed, and incredibly, incredibly powerful. So I encourage anyone who's a parent, grandparent, leader, teacher, pretty much everybody in the community, I believe, should come and see this exhibition because it's words from fellow Alaskans. It's not, you know, a textbook or whatever. These are true stories of what's going on in our state and in our communities, and it's very insightful and very powerful.
Let's go back a little bit to how you mentioned how this started, but this was part of a different show.
Correct. It was part of the exhibition Unheard Voices, Unheard Wisdom, which was the first time I stepped into this arena of this type of art, which I call installation art. And again, it started here because I felt very safe in Ketchikan saying, is this type of work, how will it be received? And so I worked with Naomi Michelson when she was at Wish, and we just talked about this idea of taking a very tough topic, difficult topic, very complex topic, into a safe environment, such as a gallery, so that people could come and learn about it. Because I find that a lot of people truly care, but if you're not directly affected, it's pretty hard to understand it. And you can't go to Wish, you know, it's that they have confidentiality issues, safety issues, you know, so how do you learn about it? And, you know, a lot of people don't want to talk about their trauma or what happened to them. And it's hard to explain. You know, a lot of people, I've even heard levels at judges and you know, very educated people say, why don't they just leave? And they can't really leave. And so that is why this quilt is so powerful, is that it's words to help people understand how complex it is. You know, nobody takes a woman on a date and says, well, in 3 months, I'm going to start isolating you. And within 6 months, I'm going to start beating you. You know, perpetrators are very, they're very smooth. They're very, you know, kind, charming. They know what to say. They kind of prey on who is maybe more vulnerable and maybe isolates them. They do isolate them. Not maybe. They do. And so it's a hard, there's a quote that says, you know, if it was easy to understand, we'd have no more abused women. And so it, you know, Alaska has unique situations in the sense of a third of the women in our state don't have access to shelters because of our rural communities and islands and isolation. So, you know, it is a huge issue, and a huge issue for unique issues for even like women on Ketchikan or men. You know, if they want to leave and have children, it is very, very costly to leave this island at the last minute. And so this problem affects all socioeconomic, but we focus a lot on the lower income because that's what we see, or that's what we hear about. But the upper income, they have the resources to leave or the connections, maybe family members or such, to do it. But one of the pieces I did add to the show was called Facade, which is a business suit of a woman who on the outside looks very harsh and strong and, you know, kind of almost like armor. But on the inside, it's all fabric that's torn and pinned together, representing that, you know, what the outside may appear is not really what's going on in the inside. And I have been really touched and honored at the power of this piece because it, the people who really gravitate towards it are survivors. They feel very empowered to have their voices heard. And one of the most touching moments, I was in doing a workshop with a group of women, and they were some of the most terrific abuse stories I'd ever heard. And these women had really seen the darkness of the world. And one of the women pointed out her favorite square. And another woman from the group said, that's my square. And just to see her disbelief that, you know, she could touch another person like that in a powerful way, and that her words were received and respected and lifted up. And then the other group is just well-meaning people, like I mentioned earlier, who want to learn and want to know. And they spend a lot of time reading the squares in each square. And then we're also going to have squares available if people want to add to them, if they want to send them to friends or family. And then we're adding another component that I've never done before, and that's a survey for people to share which squares spoke the most to them and which ones they think the community leaders need to hear. And that is more just because I want to take it the next step. You know, this quilt is wonderful, you know, and I'm trying to figure out what the next place for it is, because it should not be in stay in my studio. It should be out for people to see. And so I would love to see what message the people in the community are hearing and reading that needs to be taken to our community leaders so that we can help facilitate change. And I do think the whole name of my show is Unheard Voices, Unheard Wisdom. So to me, to hear the voices of those who've actually experienced the trauma can give us the advice that we need to help solve the problem and make a dent in this epidemic that's affecting our state. So the whole purpose is, you know, not to say, oh, which one has the best square, but which one can help leaders make a change in our community? What are we missing that would really help victims and children and help perpetrators? You know, most of them were victims also. So how can we help heal them so we can stop this issue? And that is the purpose of the survey.
So is the entire, it's not just the quilt that is traveling, it's your entire show?
My entire exhibition did travel the state. It was sponsored by Alaska Children's Trust, was a main sponsor. What we're showing at the Wellness Coalition is just the quilt project. And I don't want to say just, because people can spend hours there reading it, especially at the length of it. And because the purpose of it to bring back is how much it's expanded. There's so many more words and contributions that people in Ketchikan were not able to see because they weren't, you know, this is where it started. So working with the Wellness Coalition, it just seemed like a perfect piece to show, you know, wellness and healing, and that is to read these messages and to give hope and to give understanding on how we can help our community be its best.
When it went to each community, people could just add right then and there?
Correct. And they can at the Wellness Coalition. We're doing an artist talk. It's open this Friday, 5 to 8, at the Wellness Coalition office, which is 602 Dock Street in the back on 108, which is the back corner. And they'll see a big sign in the window. And then it's going to be up all month other than Christmas Day from 9 to 5. So people, you know, some people might want to go in there when there's not a crowd. But I am doing an artist talk at 7:30 in the evening to talk about...
On Friday.
Friday, the artist walk. So I tried to do it after retail hours, so because a lot of people will be downtown. So I hope they go out and see their favorite shops and then come by and see and hear the talk. And people are welcome. Kevin, the executive director, said, too, if there's groups that want to come through, we can make arrangements for people to see it. But again, I really encourage parents. You know, a lot of the kids are facing this, a lot of what's going on in the news. This is a really excellent piece to look at, to start conversations and just to learn.
And I imagine with that many squares, you need a lot of time to...
You need a lot of time to absorb them. We have young children who've contributed, quite a few young children. We have, I just got one of the amazing one from a father who you just hear his heartbreak as his daughter serving him a special treat at 10 a.m. in the morning with sunglasses on, dark glasses, because she's got a black eye. And the pain of the father and the hopelessness, you can just hear his love for his daughter. And it was just moving to know, you know, so it comes from all different people, from children. Some men have contributed, because it definitely affects men also. And age appropriate, people ask me that. I think it's up to the parents or, you know, the caregivers to know what is appropriate. We've had young children who, you know, were exposed to it, and they actually found it comforting and liked it. Some of the younger kids don't fully grasp it, you know, and so it's really up to the parents, and, you know, if they're teenagers, maybe for them to kind of talk about what they might read and hear and just to understand. But our kids are exposed to a lot, you know, a lot on the screens and different things. So they know a lot more than parents think they know. And so I think it's really important, too, that go together and talk about it, because they can talk about, you know, what they're exposed to. And I think a lot of times our kids need a little more protection, or us to sit down and hear about their world and what they learn about and what they hear about through social media and that kind of thing, and just the news.
Okay, and you mentioned this will be there through the end of December.
Correct.
And then you're not certain?
I'm not certain. We've had a lot of talk and a lot more interest of my show in the last year or so. But also being Alaska, we're quite isolated in trying to figure out, because it goes through a different market. You know, it's not a show for sale. So we have to find kind of alternative spaces or wonderful places like the arts and Ketchikan's Art and Humanities Office gallery space for it. So I am in conversation and hope, but I think it's too important to sit. So I hope people come and see it and just... are moved by these. I think the contributors are just very brave people, and I'd love to honor them by having people see their words.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, Carmel Anderson, and that Hope Quilt will be at the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition office up for the art walk this Friday, and that the Friday opening 5 to 8 p.m.